Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join us. This morning, my very special guest is Ann Paulk. Ann is the author of a dynamic book titled Restoring Sexual Identity, and she currently serves as the executive director of Restored Hope Network. Ann, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Philip. What a delight to join you. Thanks for having me on.
There is so much that I would like to turn our attention to this morning, and it seems the best place to begin is, would you share with us, please, the beginnings of Restored Hope Network, the very specific calling and focus of ministry?
Oh, you bet. We started in 2012, but before Restored Hope even got off the ground, many of us leaders recognized there were theological errors happening and leadership errors happening within Exodus International, which had been our former affiliation. I had been on the board of directors of Exodus International, and even on the hiring committee, so I felt somewhat responsible that the person who was taking Exodus International astray was the fellow that I had helped hire. I was among eight board members and four on the hiring committee. And so when the message kept coming to my ears and I checked it out and realized that Alan Chambers was taking Exodus astray and actually reversing the ministry calling that had been given, calling people out of homosexuality, he was no longer doing that. And that had been confirmed, I went to him directly and his board of directors. And then many of us did the same. And then finally, we as a group called Exodus and the board to account for what was going on. Mm-hmm. All of that happened prior to Restored Hope Network getting off the ground. So we really attempted to follow Matthew 18 in going to your brother first, taking two or three of you going to your brother, and then taking the church. And so the problem is that there was no repentance. The board of directors at that time believed that Mr. Chambers was leading well, and despite all the evidence that was brought to them with those who signed a letter of about 800 to 1,000 ministry years, all combined, signing onto that letter of our concerns. So we forged a new network, Restored Hope Network, in July of 2012. And we've been going ever since, pursuing the calling that was originally given to Exodus International, that is calling men and women into obedience to Christ and out of homosexuality. And that remains our calling. And it's a God-given calling that we're not willing to throw aside.
You know, I think also, too, Ann, some of our listeners may not be aware that within Restored Hope Network, there are many churches of various denominations. There are professional Christian counselors. There are certainly many, many ministries spread across the whole nation of America, correct?
That is absolutely right. And in some cases, yes, and we do go across the breadth of the Christian Orthodox experience, from Baptist to Assemblies of God to Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, you name it. There's a gamut of Christian expression within that within that coalition, within our coalition. And yes, counseling pastors, ministry leaders, lay leaders that assist in many ways. It's nationwide. And in many cases, some of those ministries, like yours, have international reach or other national locations that they reach. So the 55 to 60 ministries currently, we're about 58 actually, they each represent more than themselves as well. And that's very exciting because there's more hope than you'd expect out there for those who are seeking to leave homosexuality.
And there are a lot of individuals and families and churches as well that are looking to Restored Hope Network and the many ministries and therapists and counselors, again, spread across America, to continue lifting high the name of Jesus, believing that with Christ, Him as our personal Savior, that through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, freedom from same-sex attraction has not only been a reality for many, but continues to be. Correct?
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. I couldn't say it better myself, Philip. That's beautifully stated.
Well, let me ask you, Anne. Certainly, the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction is a topic that you and I speak to both professionally and personally. Would you please share with our listeners that life for you is very, very different now than it used to be?
Yes, absolutely. When I was four, I was molested, and just as a result of that, a young child having been, you know, had a sexual experience with an older boy who, it was a predatorial experience, and so that really, my reaction to that, my emotional reaction was to hide being a girl, being a tomboy overnight, and that actually propelled me into homosexual desire later, because my suppression of the goodness of femininity, of my female gender, kind of pushed me towards, well, I am female, but I can love I can be drawn to the femininity in others, but I was squelched with mine. So that later in my teen and late teens led to a lesbian identity. I struggled with homosexual desire daily, moment by moment. I didn't much struggle with it until I came to Christ, and then I really struggled. I embraced it beforehand, looking to go to gay bars, and when I was away at college, and I was way underage. I was 17 at the time, and they let me in easily, even though the age was 21. And, you know, pursuing gay groups on campus, which was wide open to all that sort of thing, it was not unheard of to be supported in your homosexual desire or identity away at college. So what shocked me, though, is I began having dreams about Jesus, and that was really annoying, because here I was pursuing my sin. I was pursuing my desire for homosexuality and hopefully finding a woman that I could spend the rest of my life with. And instead of that, I began to have dreams about Jesus. Surrounded by my Jewish friends, most of them weren't lesbian, I started sharing about what I was experiencing, and they're really dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say.
Wow.
So I just began asking my friends locally in the dorms and what have you, who is Jesus? Who does he say he is? What's going on? And none of them had good answers, which led me to a campus group on UC Santa Barbara's campus called Campus Ambassadors, a Baptist group, that was covering the topics of who Jesus says he was. It was called evangelism training. So as a non-believer, I was attending evangelism training. It's just very funny, right? I mean, God has such a good sense of humor. Well, during one of those meetings, I was pretending to sit in with the crowd because I really wanted my answers. And I bowed my head and closed my eyes like everybody else as they prayed. And instead of the pretense, God showed up. I became very aware that there was actually a person in the room. He opened my understanding to comprehend his presence. And the presence that I sensed wasn't a condemning, mean sort of person. It was an incredibly kind, a person who is filled with kindness and also authority.
Yes.
So that person I encountered that night, I knew was immeasurably better than anything I'd ever experienced in my life or my hopes for homosexuality or you name it.
Wow.
So afterwards, I knew that that person wasn't in my world. It was very clear in this understanding. And I went to the pastor afterwards, told him what I experienced, told him I'm a lesbian, I want to do this, and is there any way I can have this person in my life and still pursue homosexuality? And he said, well, homosexuality is sin, so you need to count the cost before you decide that Jesus is your Lord, which I, you know, it's so sad I don't hear that much anymore. Mm-hmm. I hear, instead of counting the cost, just come in, Jesus will take you as you are. And there's never really an accounting for our struggling with sin.
Yes.
There's no really an inventory of what it will cost to enter the kingdom of God. You trade as your all for his all.
Yes. Yes.
But my pastor made that really clear, and I'm so grateful.
Mm.
Because when I took that into account, I did trade my all, knowingly, for Jesus' all. So he covered my sin, he washed it out, he atoned for it, he filled me with his spirit, and I was full of joy that night from just my eyes sparkled from asking him to come into my life, forgive me my sin, and cleanse me from unrighteousness.
And
my Lord and Savior.
Wonderful.
Very simple. And the Lord entered my life. Then I began struggling with sin about 6 months later. So, yeah.
You know, and the abundance of men and women that you and I know personally worldwide, I'm not aware of a single man or a single woman that has been able to resolve their issue of same-sex attraction apart from a deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I wanted to bring that to our conversation because I recall the 17 years that I lived as a gay-identified man. During those 17 years, I never had even once a Christian approached me and say, you know, Philip, there's a way out of that. And my point to that is not to indict the church, but simply to say it would have been nice to have had the option. And that's why I'm so grateful for Restored Hope Network, because we are, first and foremost, lifting high the name of Jesus, and we are presenting
right.
to men and women, you do have an option. There is a choice.
Yes. You didn't choose your feeling, but you can choose what to do with them.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes, right.
I also know I also know that you and I agree. We believe that the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. How would you say we, the church today, how are we doing with regard to, for lack of a better expression, ex-gay ministry? How do you think we're doing?
Well, that's a good question. When I compare it to when I first became a Christian, ex-gay ministry was absolutely unheard of. You probably remember those days, Philip.
I do.
It was, you know, 1980s.
Yes.
You literally, God had to move in order for you to find out about those ministries. That is not the case today. The 1990s were filled with a tremendous amount of support for ex-gay ministry. And in today's day, that it's very much diminished compared to the support we had in the 1990s. So, you know, it's not all lost. There is actually a breadth of support. They're just not as vocal about it anymore.
Yes.
We do have actually connections throughout the majority of the dynamic body of Christ in all sorts of levels, from church bodies to parachurch and Christian ministries, from Dr. Dobson to Family Research Council. We've got connections, Alliance Defending Freedom, you name it. We've got a lot of connections, Liberty Council and other. I could go on and on. So yeah. There is a breadth of support, but the ability to vocalize the hope that there is in Christ for those to overcome sin is not often talked about, at least homosexual sin is not often talked about from a pulpit. So just want to let you know that the courage that we did not see, the faith that was lacking back in the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
There's a degree of resurgence of that, but mostly due to fear of repercussion, I believe.
Yes.
So there are consequences to now holding up the hope of Christ in the area of homosexuality.
Yes. And let me ask you, today there are a lot of people exclaiming that if you take, again, for lack of a better expression, the conservative Christian viewpoint that Scripture being abundantly clear, that homosexuality, the practice of homosexuality in God's eyes, is a sin, not unlike many other behaviors, but if you uphold the truth and the authority of Scripture regarding homosexual practice, many Christians today are being labeled homophobic, hateful, intolerant. And I would submit that for a Christian today, a faithful follower of Christ, to uphold the truth and the authority of Scripture, really, at the end of the day, is protecting God's character and the authority of His Word. Would you agree?
I completely agree. And the thing about it is, you know what, you're going to bear a consequence for holding up the Christian viewpoint that homosexuality is sin. You're going to be called a name. And there's a whole point in doing that. There's a very strategic book written by Marshall Kirk and, what's his name, Hunter Madsen?
Yes.
Overhauling Straight America was one of their articles, and it talks about strategically how to do that, how to do this. It's essentially the attempt to use psychological warfare against the church, and sadly, it works to some degree. The truth of the matter is, the church is filled up not with mean people of Westboro Baptist who actually don't believe that people can be redeemed from sin, even if they repent. I mean, that's who the Westboro Baptist is.
Mm-hmm.
They protested Focus on the Family, Love One Out conferences. And the reason why is they don't believe people can be redeemed from sin. I would say, unequivocally in that case, that they are not even a Christian church. They just use the name.
Right?
Right. Their faith does not even come close to the actual gospel that's in the New Testament.
Hmm.
So, let's take it this way. The Christian church is composed of generally very nice people who care about others, who want to help the hurting. You see that in outreaches across the world. You see that in their giving. You see that in the missions and the care for homeless. You see the feeding programs for the Union Gospel Missions and you name it. All across the country, very conscientious, kind individuals. They give more than the liberals do. That's been studied by liberals in the West on the East Coast. And generally, here we are talking down and putting labels on really thoughtful, conscientious people who care about others and who are walking the walk. And so what are they attempting to do? Well, they're attempting to use political strategy. Think about it. If you think about during a campaign, the campaigns we all get so tired of, what works? Negative campaigning works.
Yes.
Negative campaigning, even if it's wrong, always turns people to go, wow, we're going to vote for this other one.
Yes.
Well, if you assume that the U.S. public really doesn't care about the facts, they just care about how it appears, then, and they're not going to do the research to find out the truth, well, unfortunately, name-calling works, and that's the downside of things.
Unfortunately.
That's why the gay community focused on, I know, it's very unfortunate. That's why the gay community focused on the born gay theory. They didn't care if it was true or not. What they cared about was the fact that it worked.
Yes.
It actually changes people's opinion to remove ethical or moral liability in homosexual behavior.
Yes.
And so it worked with the politics, it worked with voting, it worked with anti-discrimination, you name it. A plethora of laws have come based upon the false statement that people are born gay.
Right.
We are indeed born in sin, but there is no gay gene.
Right.
And even gay researchers have admitted that. So, sorry to go on there, Philip, but hopefully that informs your listeners a little bit.
I appreciate your detailed response. You know, Anne, one of the concerns that I've had for many, many years, and it remains a concern today, is that too often, even within the church, within the body of Christ, the whole topic matter of homosexuality is often reduced to an issue. My concern when that happens is when it's seen only as an issue, we are dismissing that really this is about people, people whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. If we see this whole matter that we're continuing to face in the world and within the body of Christ as only an issue, people are going to fall through the cracks, and that is of great concern. You agree?
I agree. I think if we reduce it to a political issue, if we see it, though, as an issue in a people's, precious people's lives, then we can differentiate the sin from the high, high value of the person who's engaging in that sin.
Right.
And that's, I guess, where I'd prefer to differentiate. I'd prefer to pull apart and say, a gay isn't simply a gay. It's a man or woman who's embracing homosexuality or struggling with homosexuality. A same-sex attracted person is more likely to use that language to say, hey, I'm struggling with or struggling against my sin issue.
Yes.
And so the sin issue is homosexuality. The person themselves is of such high value to God that he went and died on the cross for them. We just experienced Easter. He did that for each one of us.
Yes.
To redeem us from our sin. And so to pull us out of that, incorporating sin as our who we are as a personhood, is the part I have trouble with.
Yes.
So anyhow. But yeah, I agree. I think your point here is if we see it as simply a political issue, we have a problem, and I agree.
Yes.
I do agree indeed.
You know, and before we run out of time, I want to give you an opportunity to highlight there's a very, very important conference coming up very, very soon in San Diego. Would you share the details with that?
Absolutely. This summer in San Diego, June 16th and 17th, a Friday and Saturday, we're having a national conference called Hope 2017. A majority of our member ministry leaders, directors, pastors, and counselors will be at that conference producing many workshops. We'll have 28 workshops this year.
Wow.
We're having keynotes from Joe Dallas, Janet Mefford, Linda Seiler, who struggled with transgenderism, and who has really come out of it the other side, identifying with her God-given gender, biologically connected there. And Ron Sitlau, who's a pastor, senior pastor from Orland Park, Illinois, who also came out of homosexuality. And so there's some really dynamic speakers who will be there sharing with us. We'll get to hear a multitude of testimonies. And Friday night, too, there will be a world premiere of a documentary on transgenderism, people who left the transgender identity to embrace their God-given identity and realign with their biological birth gender. And so very exciting, really dynamic, and they can find out more at restoredhopenetwork.org, restoredhopenetwork.org.
If they make the way to the website link, they can actually register online?
Yes. If you go to the website, there's a picture of the Hope 2017, and you just click on the picture, it takes them directly to the registration page.
Excellent. Now, once again, this will be in San Diego, California. The dates, once again?
The dates are June 16th and 17th.
Wonderful.
And they start in the morning. Registration opens at 8.
Okay. Wonderful. Great. Let's back up just for a second, Ann, if you wouldn't mind. Let me ask you, a lot of people today get bogged down, if you will, in the terms associated with homosexuality. A lot of people use gay. A lot of people use homosexual. Some say same-sex attracted. At the end of the day, we're pretty much really all talking about the same thing. But would you say there's a difference between the terms gay and homosexual?
I would. Gay generally is a political ideology amongst many. It all depends upon who you're talking to, honestly. But there's homosexuality actually focuses on the behavior of someone who's drawn to wanting to act on homosexual desire. It actually is a biblical language, and it's the better language.
Yes.
Gay is a usurped word from ages ago, which meant happy or exuberantly happy. And that, unfortunately, is not often true of the gay community or the homosexual community. So the best language to use, really, is homosexual.
Yes.
Or homosexuality. Or, same-sex attracted. That means somebody who is attracted but may or may not be acting on those feelings. So if there's a youth if a person is a youth and they're struggling with homosexuality or not knowing what to do about it or considering embracing it, same-sex attraction is the better phrasing.
Yes.
Or I'm struggling with homosexuality. That doesn't identify the person as the name of their sin struggle.
You know, so I would also submit
that's
on,
my point.
On a personal basis, I found, like many other men and women did, after many, many years of practicing homosexuality, ultimately coming to the place in life, turning around and looking back and going, to call homosexuality gay has got to be the ultimate contradiction. And
right.
I found
and
that
Yeah,
I just found that to be very true in my own life.
Why did you think of that?
Pardon me?
Right. That wasn't so happy for you in the end, was it?
It was not.
It came promising a lot, and then it turned out to be not such a, didn't pull through with what the promises
Exactly. But in my life, and I know my life is not the only one, there are other men and women that experience the same. It was really just coming to the end, exhausting everything that the world had to offer and everything that gay seemingly had to offer, and realizing that every time I was coming up short, and it was only in my life, your life, and many others, it was only coming to that place of unconditionally, totally surrendering into the hands of Christ that I really found the love that I'd looked for my whole life and purpose in life.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. And we're hearing from people in the San Diego area. You see, we're going to be protested down, apparently, in San Diego. There's a small gay community or homosexual community, but they're very active. And so they're going to protest our conference. Well, we keep hearing from people who are in the gay life down there who say, you know, I've been at this for 20 years or 15 years, and I feel all used up and worn out, and I'm looking for hope. And praise God, they're coming and they're asking us for help and referrals to care, because they really have gone through the gamut. I mean, they've used all the potentials and they've come out wanting. And there is great hope in that time if a person will fully surrender.
Absolutely. Well, Anne, unfortunately, we are coming to the end of our time. I'm so, so very grateful to you for your role at Restored Hope Network and certainly for the upcoming conference. I'm glad that you could join us this morning, and I'm sure we're going to be talking in the near future.
Well, thank you so much, Philip. A pleasure to be with you, and I'm so grateful you're part of Restored Hope Network. You're a tremendous part of it.
Well, once again, to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. Please join us next Saturday, same time, same station. And until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.